You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys are going plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday, and this is the Thursday morning celebration of the Boston Celtics 99-91 win over the Indiana Pacers in Game 2 of the opening round, and we're here to talk about it. I'm John Corrales of MassLive.com. I'd normally introduce us as the Rain and Jays, but that doesn't really apply.
It doesn't apply, no.
No.
Not me.
It was actually supposed to be Jam with Chris Grenham, but it's me with Chris Grenham because Jam's out sick. Couldn't pull an Al Horford.
Al Horford's flu game. Couldn't be Packers' flu game.
Couldn't be Packers, you know. But so, you know, you adjust. It means somebody's got to play more minutes. And so here we are. And that of Nesson.com, I should say.
That's right. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, appreciate it.
So we're going to walk you through this real quick. Celtics beat the Pacers 99-91 behind a 31-12 fourth quarter. They came into that fourth quarter. Let's just start there. We're going to do this in sections. Like, we're going to start with the good stuff in the fourth quarter.
Good place to start.
You know, why not? So Celtics came into this quarter down 12 after a just terrible third quarter where they are outscored 29-16. And in that fourth quarter, with Miles Turner off the floor, and we'll get to Miles Turner later, but with Miles Turner off the floor, the Celtics were able to get aggressive, and they attacked the basket, and over the course of the first few minutes of the quarter, they turned that 12-point lead with no Kyrie Irving down to a 4-point lead, punctuated by Jason Tatum's drive and dunk with no shot blocker there.
None. You know,
wide open lane. And he finished.
Tatum was great. I mean, obviously the lane was open. You had no Miles Turner threatening any deflections, any blocks. But Tatum was awesome. And I thought he won't get talked about as much. But Al Horford played an extended stretch the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And he opens up a lot of flexibility for them. And having him just at that free throw line, because he started going to the hoop a little bit more. He was a non-factor when he played in the first half. They got him the ball a couple times in those first couple possessions of the fourth quarter at the free throw line. He drove through, I think he had 4 straight points. And that just allowed him to draw a little bit more attention, which took a little bit off Tatum. Tatum get to the rim, and I thought that opened a lot of things. But you're right. No Miles Turner was huge. Tatum was the centerpiece of this offense before Kyrie came back into the game. But it was huge that they can, you know, manage to battle back without Kyrie on the floor. I mean, that was a nice surprise.
Yeah, it was a nice surprise.
Yeah.
So, and also, a couple of good Rozier minutes.
Terry was great on defense.
Since we're here, and we shitting on Terry Rozier is a common practice.
Yes,
for good enough reason. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think it's exaggerated. He earns it, but he was really good defensively. I thought his pick and roll defense was excellent.
So much better than it has been in the past.
Like,
too.
I highlighted on Twitter the other day about how on the pick and roll that he has been very guilty of not kind of checking the roll man.
Yeah.
So you set the pick, Sabonis, whomever sets the pick, and Al Horford goes over to stop the penetration. And what Rozier did in this game that he didn't do in others is gets in front of the big that's mm-hmm. rolling. And even if the shot goes up, he actually boxed a couple guys out.
Right, which he never, ever does.
Never does.
And that was so nice because people see the box and Rozier in 20 minutes, he only had 4 points, but he was so good on the defensive end.
I will take this Rozier. Like, he made some mistakes, and I think there were some times I was sitting next to Tom Westerholm, and I was like, you got to get Terry Rozier out of the game. And he's like, I don't think that turnover was mostly his fault. And it was like, you know, it's probably a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. because we've been making those reactions for the last couple months, and that's totally understandable.
And he had a couple of Rozier moments.
Yeah.
But I think defensively he played much, much better than he played in game one.
His best defensive game in a while, in my opinion.
A long time, yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with that pick and roll defense.
And but he had a putback in that run, yep. And he also had an assist to Horford in that run. And then Tatum, obviously, he had a tip-in and the dunk. So over the course of the first 4 minutes or so, the Celtics cut this thing to four, and then Kyrie Irving comes in.
Yeah.
And all
scorched
of a sudden,
earth.
Yeah,
yeah,
comes in. He gets a three behind a pick from Al Horford. He gets a three, you know, streaking up the left sideline where he's like calling for Rozier, like, give me the ball, give it to me. Gets it, one dribble, boom, that thing goes up, and he's like losing his mind. And in this building,
goes into the timeout, right? They call a timeout.
Yes, this building, which coming into the fourth quarter, which was dead, was all of a sudden out of its mind. I thought it was funny. After the third quarter, and just everything was shit, and the Celtics in-game production people were like, we need something.
Very smart thinking on their part.
They first, in the same timeout, they blow right by the fan of the game thing. There's no voting for fan
no
of
time.
The game. Nope. We got a T-shirt toss. Get people up out of their seats for the T-shirt
Wake them
toss.
Up. Yeah.
Okay, get up out of your seats. We've got another we now have here's Bill Belichick, and here's Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yes, that's right, the Patriots, woo! And then in the middle of it, in the middle of this run, they bust out an old Paul Pierce pipe.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
That was perfect.
I was joking around. I'm like, if they lose this lead, they might pull out an old KG video.
Yeah.
I was expecting the KG video. But
because
the
it worked
arena,
perfectly. It was masterful production to bring out that Paul Pierce, Al Harrington quote.
It was great.
It was perfect.
And in the middle of all of that, Kyrie's doing his thing, and this place goes nuts. To Indy's credit, they come back and they take a lead. Mm-hmm. And it's feeling like, for a second, like, oh, God, maybe the Celtics got themselves in too much of a hole. And
I was shocked Indy came back to take the lead also, because the way the arena was, the momentum had swung, in my opinion, when the arena was kind of going crazy and Kyrie was, like we said, going scorched earth. I thought when they, I think it was 87, 85, I think it was when they, I thought there was no way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was game. I thought Indiana was, there was no chance they were going to jump back up. So I was pretty impressed, for one, because they went, 7 minutes without a bucket and they were still only trailing by one?
Yeah. So I tweeted this out. When it was 82-81, Bogdanovich, so Kyrie hits his shot, mm-hmm. his three. Bogdanovich comes down and misses a three. And I thought, this is where a star is supposed to step up.
Right.
And then a minute later, Kyrie hits his three. And I was like, see, this is it. This is the difference.
Yeah.
This is the narrative that Pacers don't have that star player. Bogey's good, and it's a nice story, but he's not right. And so, but to his credit, he came back and hit two tough shots after that. I think really one of the underrated turning points of this game was after he hit a couple of those jumpers, the Celtics did a good job running him off the line, off the three-point line. And they turned him into a driver, which he's not comfortable with.
No.
And he missed a reverse layup, and that led to a breakout. And then on another drive, it was Al Horford rejecting him. And that started the Jaylen Brown kick-out pass, the drive left, kick-out to Tatum for three, which Brad Stevens says is one of the best plays Jaylen Brown has ever made in his entire life.
He's right. I mean, Jaylen Brown is a guy who's had so much issue. He's had so many issues with his court vision, especially in transition. So the fact that he can go to the hoop and find a guy like Tatum in the corner like that was wonderful.
Oh, my God.
It was incredible. I never thought I would see that. And then again, credit to Tatum, because he had missed the three a couple possessions before, and he comes back and knocks down the other corner one. I mean, it was a tremendous sequence, but it all started with the Horford block down at the other end.
Yeah. I mean, defense leads to offense, and you get that you get a block like that and you get out in transition, and the Pacers have had problems stopping the Celtics in transition.
Yeah.
It's been a focus for them, and they just haven't been able to do it. And in that situation, you've got your best player driving, and a lot of people are below the free throw line. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get out. And Jaylen Brown, right around here, the red R-back thing, got past Darren Collison, and when he got to the lane, it felt like one of those times where here goes Jaylen, he's going to – and he had a lane.
Right. But he was like, going to go full tunnel vision.
Yeah,
like he normally
he was
does.
Going to go and challenge Miles Turner mm-hmm. and try that dunk. Maybe he would have gotten fouled.
Yeah.
Who knows what would have happened. You can't – you get a guess.
Right.
But in that moment, like, I don't remember ever even seeing him make that play.
I've never – no joke. I tweeted it. And I said that's the best – transition pass I've ever seen him make.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't make it. That's just not – he just simply doesn't make it.
That's not a Jaylen Brown play
it's
to
not.
Make.
It's credit to him for making that adjustment in transition. I mean, that's big.
And look, I've been critical of him mm-hmm. all throughout this season, last season. This has been a step in his progression.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say, Chris, it's easy to forget sometimes how young these guys are.
Yeah.
And that we want everybody to do everything now. And because we're doing things every day,
yeah.
we're like, okay, I'm going to look at this film. I'm going to look at the game and say, okay, here are the weaknesses that he needs to work on. And, well, now I've identified the weakness. Why aren't you doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
And it becomes like a harping thing. And it just takes time for some guys to progress to.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that Al Horford said after the game. It's something that Brad has been harping on. And now he made the play. Now it's a thing that he can do.
Yeah.
And that's an important development. And now, I mean, I'm not going to expect him to make these amazing passes all the time.
I am. I'm fully. I have completely changed my view of him in transition.
Yeah. But that is such a huge
it's
threat.
Massive, yeah.
Think about now when he drives, if people are thinking about that pass.
It opens up a world of difference for that defense. And speaking of, I don't want to completely jump here, but speaking of adjustments, the next play, the next offensive possession for the Celtics, Tatum's patience driving to the hoop to make the pass, to let the play develop,
yep.
and then find Hayward slipping onto the baseline. I mean, last year, even a couple months ago, he does not make that pass.
Right.
He does not slow down driving to the hoop. He probably goes to him, and again, maybe he gets fouled. You can't play that what-if game, but the fact that he was patient enough to slow down, let that play develop, let Hayward cut baseline, I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I love seeing him make that pass.
And I'm sitting there thinking, and I said out loud, there's no way that Kyrie's not pulling up for the dagger here.
Right.
Like, that is, yeah. you're up one. You hit that three, it's a four-point game, and this thing's over.
Yep.
That is as classic a setup for Kyrie pull-up dagger three.
That's it, yeah.
And he does it all the time.
Right.
For Kyrie to say, oh, here comes the double team. I'm going to give it off to Jaylen. I mean, to Jason.
Yeah.
Who's also had, he had 10 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. More than so Kyrie. It was a high scorer. Yeah.
You had the 9-point guy giving it up to the 10-point guy.
Yep.
Each of them had hit huge, huge shots in this game.
Yeah.
And each of them said, nope, you do it. Nope, I'm going to do this. Here you go, Gordon. Like, that is everything that we've wanted from this team.
Yeah.
The unselfishness, the right play, the right read, that entire sequence was exactly what we've wanted from this team all season long.
It was perfect. And then he finishes it with the dunk after Wes Matthews decides to throw it on the inbounds pass to the Celtics bench. So then you have Tatum at the other end off the inbound, which was another really questionable late-game execution, questionable decision-making on the Pacers. But Tatum ended up finishing the N1 dunk at the other end. So
that's another show
by him.
Why don't we take a break here and transition into some of what the Pacers stuff, because we're going to have to look at, I don't know what adjustments they're going to make, but we're going to talk about that. We'll talk it through when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast. A reminder, of course, if you're new to the podcast, if you're just listening for the first time, go ahead and subscribe. You can use the new Himalaya podcast app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere podcasts exist, and tell your smartphone or your smart device in your car to play podcast Locked On Celtics. We're coming right back. Stay with us. you know, Chris, as great as this last 2 minute or last minute or so stretch was for the Celtics, imagine being a Pacers fan and watching your team implode like that.
I'm ruined.
I mean,
I am ruined.
I feel bad for, like, you obviously this, you want the Celtics to win, and it was a great game back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, punches being thrown, you know, metaphorically speaking. And then that out of bounds play, was it Matthews?
It was Wes Matthews. Yeah. He was looking for Bogdanović, and I think he cut. He was expecting to cut down. He cut towards half court instead.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it was coming right at Jay Larinaga. What the hell was? What just happened?
Yeah. And that was just it.
Yeah.
Like, that was it.
Yeah.
Once they weren't on the same page, they could never recover.
No, it was a mess. And then the next inbound play, when they realistically should have fouled Hayward when he got the ball right off the inbound, and then he just found Tatum right away because they were just staring at him.
Yeah.
It was almost as if they were looking for Kyrie to get the ball, and he didn't get it. So it was like, what do we do? He doesn't have the ball. Like, what do we do? They had no alternative.
They had none. And I think this goes to, like, when I said that Kyrie was going to pull up for that dagger three. Mm-hmm. I think everyone expected that. I think all the Pacers expected that.
Yeah.
And when he didn't, it was like, oh, shit, he passed it.
Yeah.
And then a wild overreaction to Tatum, because now Tatum is good and has the ball. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then you forget, like, to give up in that stretch a layup right under the basket and an and-one dunk. Like, that is the absolute epitome of a team that it fell apart. It was like the Bluesmobile at the end of the Blues Brothers, where they'd run as far as they could go, and the entire thing just collapsed.
Yep.
Which, I mean, as a basketball fan, it's kind of a shame to see a team just lose a game because all of a sudden their brains just shut off.
It was just a total meltdown.
Their brains just shut off for a second.
I mean, that was a team that has played really, really good defense all series, and then suddenly you got a guy like Hayward cutting untouched. No one's even near him, slipping back door. Like, that should never happen.
Never.
Especially at that point in the game. And again, that's just a lack of execution, and they had no alternative once Kyrie didn't have the ball and it was Tatum. It was like, what the hell are we supposed to do here?
Yeah, and I don't want to keep pushing the star, no star narrative. You feel like there was a presence on the floor that I don't know if Oladipo could have gotten them back together or not. Maybe after you have the turnover, there's a guy on the floor that you could look to be like, okay, the clapping, like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get back to it. A leader like that, maybe he would be the guy that would come down and hit a shot to calm things down. But what they were missing in that moment was the guy who was positive.
Just to bring them together.
Like a Marcus Smart.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
In that moment, like, a Marcus Smart would be like, okay, forget it, move on.
You just need a glue guy. You need a glue guy, and they do not have that.
That's really one of the things that they are missing.
Yeah.
And you waste a pretty good performance from Bogdanović. Now, again, Bogdanović had, what was his final number?
23 points. He was 9 of 21.
You know, but 4 of 8 from three, eight rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals. I mean, he was pretty good.
And you said it before we started recording. The Celtics did a pretty good job of pushing him off the perimeter toward late, and he was still relatively effective.
Yeah.
That's not his game, and he was still managing to get to the hoop. And so he's their guy right now. But he's not a guy who's meant to create his own shot. I mean, that's not his game.
No. And then they did a good job. I think early on, I saw them run a couple of sets that were aimed at getting him some easy baskets.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was imperative for the Pacers to try to get him established early. When you're a big time scorer like he can be, getting some easy buckets early is something that can get you going.
Yeah.
So I thought they did a pretty good job of that. I think the problem with the Pacers is they only have so much that they can do. Like, Nate McMillan is great at getting everything he can, like squeezing every bit of juice from that orange.
Yeah.
But what he's not good at, I don't think there was nothing new. There was no new wrinkle in this offense that, and look, they scored 91 points.
Right.
It's better than 74.
Yeah, it's much better than 74. But you're right. There's only so many other wrinkles that you can work in when you're turning to guys like Wes Matthews or like Tyreek Evans or Corey Joseph. It's like, how much are you going to create
right
with those guys?
Right. I mean, Tyreek can get hot for a little bit.
Yeah.
Collison can hit a few shots. Thad Young can hit a few shots, although not from three.
Right.
Which
is just so huge because the Celtics can sag off of him, and he was 1 for 5. And he's going to take 4 or 5 threes.
Yeah.
He is, especially when the Celtics give them to him, and they will let him shoot all day long. And why would you not?
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that's in. I think it was in our last podcast, last postgame podcast, where Sam Packer was like, just wonder how good he could be if he was just a little bit better from three.
Just a tiny little bit. And it would change the way teams defend them.
Yeah.
As a whole. I mean, because you watch what it does for the Celtics defense when guys like, if Horford is switched on to him or just guarding him, he can sag off. I mean, it opens up a world of difference for Brad Stevens' defense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be horrifying for Nate McMillan to watch him just float out there by himself and know he's going to pull one.
No. But, you know, look, he's willing. He's got to find a.
But he's right. Just a little bit better.
Just hit one more game. The Pacers were at their best in the third quarter of this game when Miles Turner was erasing everything at the rim. I don't know how in the hell he's only got two official blocks.
Yeah, they both came in that third quarter, but it was far more. If I don't know how they register blocks here, but
he changed. I don't know how many shots.
Yeah, he was impacting everything inside,
and like comically bad. Like I remember Mook driving and throwing one like literally over his head, like
anything to avoid Miles Turner's wrath. Yeah,
the Celtics were terrible at. Like, I'm a big believer in attacking a shot blocker.
Right.
But when you attack a shot blocker, you got to get into his body. You have to make him
attack,
put his arms
really
down.
Really attack him. Don't half attack him. Go at him.
And, like, Tatum did, like, that half attack that you said. Trying to, like, a little sweeping thing. He's just too good.
Can't do that. It's not. Yeah.
So in that third quarter, when the Celtics, like, it wasn't like. They went on a run. Do you remember what the run was in the third quarter for them?
I don't.
It was whatever the run was for the Pacers. It wasn't like a Warriors, oh, they're hot, you know, boom, boom, boom from three, and it's a 15-2 run. It was a slow, steady Celtics are letting this get out of control.
Yep.
Why isn't Brad Stevens calling these timeouts? Why are we still trying to do the same thing? Like
there was a long 12-2 run in there.
Yeah. So that type of thing, it was fueled by, I don't know why Brad didn't call a timeout, to be honest with you, but the Celtics kept trying to run their offense and they were attacking, but they weren't really getting into Turner's body and he was just deflecting or altering or whatever.
Right. And I mean, their eyes must have lit up he was on the bench to start that fourth quarter because he played all 12 minutes of the third quarter.
Yeah.
So he needed to sit at some point.
Yeah.
And I mean, you asked a couple questions post game to him. Like, what does that mean to you? You know, you're talking to Kyrie and Tatum. You come out there and Turner's on the bench. Like,
yeah.
That's like, a great feeling.
Hello.
That's amazing. Look at it. We can get in the paint.
Yeah.
And they took full advantage, rightfully so.
I mean, and then what the Celtics really did well after that was once the Pacers were scrambling, they used Horford to pull Turner away.
Yeah.
And they matched up really well on the floor and got Turner on Horford. And they just
pull him away from the hoop.
Pull him away.
Bit.
They just said high pick and roll right here at the top of the 3-point line.
Yep.
And now Turner is nowhere near as effective. He did a great job. He can switch onto a guard, and he did a great job keeping guys in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just blocking shots,
he's
but he stopped drives.
Yeah.
Like, he was really, really good defensively in that third quarter. In the fourth quarter, I think once things got a little frantic, then that reduced his effectiveness. Once he was pulled away, the guys behind him, instead of being able to funnel a team into the teeth of a shot blocker, he was away from the rim and just, and at that point, then the Celtics were hot.
Right.
And then it
Horford
just
is so
didn't
good
matter.
At pulling guys like that away from the hoop. I mean, you see it with Embiid, obviously, and he does it with so many guys, but he's so effective just for floor spacing purposes, but also just dragging someone like him away from the hoop.
Yeah.
Changes everything.
Yeah. It's wild how good. And he was sick. He looked sick.
He did not look good. He did not look good. I was in the locker room after with my phone underneath his, you know, I'm recording him and I'm looking at him. I start pulling my phone slowly away. I'm like, I need to Purell my phone.
It's funny. Tom and I were like, okay, somebody's got to be in the interview room
because right.
now in the playoffs, it's two different places. He's like, do you want to do, because he did a locker room the last time. And he's like, do you want to go in the locker room? I can do the podium stuff. I was like, no, I'm good.
No, I'm all right.
I'll get the podium.
I got a Miles Turner story that I'm working on. Down the hall.
Yeah, I'm like, you can go into that confined space.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
He still didn't look like he felt great. I'm not going to lie after the game. But he said he was fine. You know,
he
was a trooper.
Sure,
of
course.
A trooper.
And some people, they push through a sickness.
Is that a subtweet? It might be a subtweet. Well, I don't know.
Speaking of tweets, nice transition. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with your tweets, and we'll wrap up the show here. Stick around here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We ask you to tweet with the hashtag #RainandJays for the basketball stuff and the rain and junk for the junky, goofy stuff. Sam's not here, so I never can do any of the goofy stuff justice. So I
that's his stuff. The
that's
junk is
totally
his.
I mean, I you know, I have my sense of humor and all that stuff, but it's not jam. So
it's not jam. There's only one jam. There's only one jam. Put that on a plaque.
So we'll just stick to this, and then if we can get jam on a podcast at some point between now and then, we'll get a really, really junky. I got some funny stuff. But what I love about tweets on a game like this is like there's distinct periods in the game where people are pissed.
Oh, it's the flow.
People are happy.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. You know? It's awesome.
So you get things like, this is a good one from at Simo 1414 in Australian. At Jovi, he was replying to Simo. It was Jovian Shadow. 2 years ago, if bangers took a three, we'd be howling for blood. Now, boom, with appropriate GIF action. That was in reaction to the Baines three early when it looked like the score was going to be 84-74 Celtics after one quarter.
Yes. It was a completely, completely different game. But, I mean, he's right. Baines with a little touch early. What he finished with 14 minutes. That was the only three he took, and he was 2 for 2. So he didn't have too much of an impact on this game. But that first quarter, it looked like it was a completely different series.
I don't know if it was because Horford was sick or maybe Baines was ineffective. How many minutes did he play?
He played 14.
14 minutes.
14 minutes.
We saw a lot of Daniel Theis.
Yeah. In weird combinations.
Yeah.
In odd lineups that I personally was not enjoying. I was not having fun.
He came in with Mook at the beginning of the first.
He came in with Mook. That was
his first possession. He bumped into Kyrie Irving.
That is
caused the turnover.
As you're talking about the roller coaster of Twitter, that is the bad part. That is the bottom. Yeah, that's the dark place. It got dark for a little period there. Yeah,
it did.
Yeah,
we're sitting there up there going like, "Well, this is interesting. This is weird."
Yeah,
and to see when Kyrie went the same way, and Theis like bumped into him, and the ball jarred loose, and then Mook fouled. I forget who, but it was an and one. Like
it got
what
real messy
is happening
for like
here?
A 35 second span. It was a gross period. So that was not great.
That was not great. At Joey Angus 11, Terry wouldn't look so bad if he passed to anyone else besides Mook. Mook, first of all, Mook's minutes were not great. Mook,
no,
let's
21 minutes. He was 0-for-8.
Oh, man.
Plus four. Yeah, it is just not good.
So there goes the shine off of game one.
Yeah, that went away real quick.
But him and Terry together is always dangerous. Luckily, and I wrote it down like
it's
it was
been
like
worse
20,
than it was tonight. It's definitely been worse.
It was 27-20, and I wrote it down like, oh, shit.
Here we
go. 27-20 with Terry and Mook on the floor, no Kyrie, because
that's
I was going to make
zone.
The note of like, well, it's now 52-20 in the course of 30 seconds.
This is where the season was gone.
Like, boom.
Yeah.
But they did have Hayward, and they did play well. They actually tied it at 27. So that I don't think Terry and Mook together is great, but you're right. It's been worse. So
I am definitely on the same page there. The two of them together is quite a ride.
And along with at Young Keese, needs someone to step up as a creator with Marcus out. Not nearly enough crisp ball movement for this series. He did much more on offense than a numbers show. And I think that goes along with Terry Rozier. He, again, tonight, spotty offensively, but okay.
I'll take that spotty offensive game with his with his defensive effort tonight.
I totally will.
Yeah.
But they do miss Marcus Smart as a creator. Yeah. There's just no doubt about it.
Well, it's just nice to have him act as a primary ball handler. I'd much rather have him as the primary ball handler alongside Kyrie than Terry. I mean, you don't always know what you're getting with Terry. And I like Smart's consistency. It makes me feel a little better.
Yeah. How funny is it to say I like Smart's consistency?
How weird is that?
How about
imagine
that?
Imagine saying that like a year ago.
Yeah, my God.
I would. Oh, ridiculous.
Okay. Yeah. You're done.
Yeah.
You're off the
you
podcast.
You can go. You can go.
See ya. Sorry about that, folks. Now it's true.
Especially in comparison with Terry, because that's that. You and I would look pretty consistent out there, Terry, because we'd probably be consistently bad.
Yeah, but at least it's consistent.
Yeah, they know what you're getting.
At funky underscore Celtics, Tatum is taking sidestep threes when he doesn't need to, right? I don't know. I can't think of off the top of my head, but I like when he – I'd rather see him sidestep a three. There was a time where he sidestepped and then he stepped in.
Yeah.
But he hit the shot.
He hit the jumper, yeah. I mean, I'm just – with Tatum, I'm just happy we're out of that really brutal period of the 18-footers, the contested 18-footers. That got bad for
the Kobe era.
The Kobe era. That got bad. And so I'm okay with him sidestepping a couple threes here and there if we can get away from that.
Yeah. I mean, it's much better than what he was doing.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Let's see here.
Got to put on for Deuce at some point.
You're right. Deuce, by the way, at the post-game podium.
Put on a show.
Very, very cute.
Yep.
It's baby at the podium. Where do you stand on babies at podiums?
Babies at the podium. Well, it's different. Deuce is different. He's an exception because it's Deuce. I'm a big supporter in that regard.
Very pro-Deuce.
Very pro-Deuce. I think it's gotten a little overdone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it started with Steph and Riley Curry.
Sure, yeah.
And that was cute at first. But then, like, I don't know. I don't need to have, you know, Ellen DeGeneres bringing them on. And, like that's when it gets out of hand.
Hey.
And then everyone's bringing. But it's fine. I'm not. I enjoy it. It brings a little something different to the sometimes boring podium.
So,
where do you lie?
I'm pro. I'm okay. Pro kid. I have to admit. Now, I remember somebody went off on a thing a year, two, three ago, whatever it was, about, you know, I'm trying to do some work and I gotta ask my questions and these kids are always distracting. Blah blah blah. Now, Marcus Morris brought Mook Jr. out there, and he just kept grabbing the mic. And I was like, okay, this kid's cute, but can we just keep the mic away from him?
A little bit.
I was like,
mics,
you know,
are enticing if you're a
they
child.
They are, I'm
I
sure.
I understand that.
I can't walk past a microphone without grabbing one myself.
You and me both.
So, but I found like a brief fleeting, like, okay. This
reporter
is nice.
Moment. When you're,
yeah, this is nice, but can
let's do my job.
I just want Mook to... Because he was in the middle of a good answer.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I get that.
I'm not going to be able to, there's no, like, finish your thought.
Yeah. I totally get that.
I'm not anti kid. Bring your kid out. I just was.
I get what
finish
you're
your
yeah.
thought.
Finish your
you
thought.
Know?
Yeah.
Like, that's cool.
I have to admit, I was covering the locker room. I was not, you were in the interview room. I was in the locker room tonight. When I came around the corner and I saw Deuce at the podium, I lit up like a fan.
Sure. Boy.
Like, I could not get my phone out fast enough to get a video of Deuce. I saw Deuce picking up the box score. You would have thought I saw Bill Russell taking – like, it was incredible. So
it was
that
cute.
Was, yeah, it was –
it was a great moment.
Yeah.
So I'm very pro-kid. I just from a very selfish perspective, if you're saying something – just from an athlete. If I'll put it this way. My request –
to the children.
Yes, to the children.
Speaking to you, Mook Jr.
Yeah. No, to the dads who bring their kids out there. I have one simple request. Like, you want to bring your kid out there? That's totally cool. But if your kid does something distracting, just start your answer over and give me a complete sentence. So when I have a quote, like that's all. If we're gonna have the kid out there, just cool. We want to see your kid. I'm pro Mook Jr. Mook Jr.'s cool. He's cute. Deuce obviously is a celebrity now.
Yeah.
Keep doing it. Keep bringing him out. Like it's. I love the humanity of it. I love the human moment. And Mook was really great, like kissing his kid all the time. Like, it's an awesome moment.
The love he shows for his son is, that guy loves being a dad. It is awesome.
Right.
It is so great.
His whole history, you know, with his own childhood, like,
yep.
He has made this commitment. Like, I'm going to be the opposite of that. I'm going to be as loving a dad. And you think.
It's pretty awesome to watch.
Marcus Morris is, like, the toughest SOB you're going to find. Like, that dude.
Imagine some bully mistakenly tries to pick on Mook Jr. Like, holy hell.
But he is like it coming out of halftime, coming out of the tunnel when he's like playing with his kid before he comes back out on the court.
It's an awesome.
Amazing moment.
Yeah.
So I'm very pro. But like if in the middle of saying something and your kid grabs the microphone, cool, no problem. Just move it away.
Yeah.
And just repeat your answer. So I have a good solid sentence.
Thought.
So when I'm putting my
that's
thing
fair.
Out, you know.
That's fair.
I think. I oh God. I just want to just be clear. I want to be clear. I'm not anti-kid at the podium.
Raiden J's not anti-kid. The first pro-child basketball podcast.
This is a test of how popular I really am because this shouldn't be anything, and it's not going to get out of control. But, like, if I was, like, Bill Simmons level,
oh yeah,
this would get out of control.
Bill Simmons hates kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
totally,
like that.
Totally. Aggregated like crazy.
Yep. Final statement, we are both pro-kid.
Pro-kids.
Pro-kids.
Please.
Yes.
We're pro-kids. Bring your kids to the podium. Hell,
Gordon,
I'm going to
bring the whole family
you know
next
I'm going to adopt kids.
You're going to bring them in
I'm
there.
I'm going to bring them in there. How great would it be if all the reporters brought their kids in with them?
You're going to show up with four kids at Bankers Life Fieldhouse on Friday.
I'm going to borrow kids. I'm just going to randomly, I'm going to give people like $100 a piece. Like, can I just borrow your kid for like 15
can
minutes?
Can you take my picture and tweet it?
Yeah,
hashtag Raiden J's, and just so everyone knows.
Oh my God, I got no more tweets.
We're off the rails here.
We're going off the rails. That's our ode to
kids at the
Jam Packard with the junk.
I got
one more junk thing. Where do you stand on Red Panda?
Okay, I think I do have an opinion. I think Red Panda's act is awesome, but I think I tweeted this out at halftime. I enjoy people watching Red Panda more than I enjoy Red Panda's act itself.
Sure.
Because people go nuts.
They love it.
People go nuts. And the act is really cool.
I've never seen her live.
Really?
This is my first time seeing her live.
It's a ride.
It's a ride.
Yeah.
She's out there on that unicycle, and it's not a regular old unicycle. That thing is like...
It's tall as
hell. She climbs one of those ladders,
yeah.
And she's up above the rim.
Yep.
So.
It is impressive.
I understand that she it's the same act. Over and over and over again. And if you saw Red Panda every game, like, okay, let's vary up the halftime entertainment.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to hold the fact that she does this one particular thing well against her. She knows her lane.
She's
great at it.
She's really good at it.
You know?
Yeah.
And who the hell even thinks to kick bowls on your...
How do you get good at something like that? How do you go, one day you're sitting on your couch... Wow, look at that really tall unicycle. I'm going to get on top of it, and hey, Mom, can you throw me 7 bowls, and I'm going to give it a go. Like, how does one become good or find out they're good at something?
That's it's an excellent question. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, there's just got to be something accidental, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I have no, but it is impressive. But
it's
my take on it is I enjoy watching people's reactions because, like, hearing, you know, a 60-year-old reporter up in the halo say, did you hear? Red Panda's here tonight.
Yeah.
And he's got this look in his eye, and I'm like, see, that's awesome. I think that is
awesome. That's exceptional.
And that says something about her act.
I Instagram lived it.
Yes.
Like,
I was excited
to see it because I've only seen the clips, and to have never seen it live, like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Even though I was way up in the halo, it was still really, really cool.
She's basically up there with us.
No kidding. But no, people like Jay King just shitting all over Red Panda.
Jay's not a Red Panda.
Jay is very anti-Red Panda.
Forsberg is pro, right?
He's very pro.
Very pro.
We sat there in the locker room while none of the players were around. Like, there was locker room media availability, and it was like PJ Dozier and like whatever. So we're just...
That's where I make my hay.
Yeah. We're sitting there. We had this big conversation with me Abby Chin, Chris Forsberg, and Jay King. When I expressed my excitement, because there was a piece of paper on one of the desks,
right,
and Forsberg was like, oh no, it's a red panda. And I got excited. I'm like, I've never seen her. Oh my God. And Jay's like, oh, red panda, man. Let's play it out.
But
Jay King voice.
Yeah, that's it. I like that Jay impression. But like, Jay's probably seen her a bunch. He's
doesn't, you know, it's just no appreciation.
Appreciation of the craft.
You know? Like, okay, yeah, I get it. That's the one thing that she does. Like, but don't hold it against her.
Yeah,
she
that's a good
knows
way to
what she does.
It. Yeah,
she does it well. She entertains the people. When she put those five balls up on her head, the crowd went nuts.
It's incredibly impressive. You ever see the video of her doing it with Marshawn Lynch? And
no.
Marshawn Lynch is sitting in a chair. It's in like a, I think it was a Bleacher Report.
Yes,
it was
yes,
part
yes,
of their,
yes.
their show with him.
Yes,
it was incredible.
Yes. He just
and
lost
he
him.
Wanted to get up.
Yes.
And he started doing, there was like his posse was there. Like,
no, don't do that.
Don't do that. And he was like, no, I'm going to do it. He had 1 foot up there and he decided not to.
Yeah.
But that was an electric video. Go watch it if you haven't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's good. That's good stuff. All right. All right. Solid podcast here. We might have something here with Chris
Grenham. Might have something. Packard, you're on the hot seat.
Are you willing to change your name?
Yeah, I could be willing. In what form? Where do you have me going?
You know, we're the Rain and Jays. You know, how can you go? I don't know. Sam Packard turned into Jam Packard pretty easily.
Jam Packard's pretty good.
It's pretty easily. There's Chris Grenham doesn't turn into
that's a tough one. We can brainstorm.
Yeah.
We can brainstorm.
We're going to have to. But
send suggestions in, and we'll value. They might get out of hand, but we'll see. That Chris Grenham is a tough one.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
You got a middle name?
I got Joseph.
There you go.
Is that it?
That's it. Joseph is your middle name. You're willing to go by Joseph?
Yeah, I can go by Joe.
Joe?
you wanted Joseph.
Joseph?
The look on Krause's face when I said Joe, he's like, eh, maybe not.
Joseph. You
go
know.
With Joseph.
Joseph.
Hey, man.
Then
JK
can call you Broseph.
Broseph. Then that's good.
He calls people Broseph sometimes.
Yeah, that's good. He's called me Broseph plenty of times. Yeah. I like Jay's nicknames.
Jay's hilarious.
Yeah.
Especially when he calls himself the God.
The kid.
Well, God.
I remember the first time I heard that, I was so confused. I'll be totally honest. I was so confused. But then I picked up on Jay's mantra.
Yeah, yeah. Jay's got a vibe.
He does. It's a good vibe.
All right. We hope you're vibing with us here on the Lockdown Celtics podcast. It's 1 a.m. I still got work to do.
Me too.
Oh, man. But this has been a fun podcast. What's your Twitter handle now? Did you change it?
Just my name, Chris Grenham.
Okay.
Yep.
So
maybe I'll have to change it to Joseph
Grenham. Change it to Joseph
Grenham.
Joseph Grenham. So go ahead and follow Chris there and check him out on Nesson.com. Of course, subscribe to the podcast. You can do it on the Himalaya app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, blah, 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 all the podcast app, everywhere. We're everywhere. Get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Celtics. Regular listeners, 5-star rating and a good review would be awesome. And then spread the word. Share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King.